Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary and bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Well, hello to us all. I've been up here before, so I'll remind you, my name's Logan. I'm part of the ministry team here at Blakehurst, and it's good to be with us today. It's a bit cold outside, but it's nice and warm in here together. So let's get started on looking at the idea of frankincense. Now, I don't know about you, but gifts are often a joyful thing, right? I think back to a lot of my birthdays, and I can tell you a lot of great gifts I got given. I can tell you about the cricket gear I got given from my parents as a kid. You know, I still have my wicket-keeping gloves I got when I was 14, one of the happiest gifts I ever got on my birthday. Or I can tell you about a couple years ago when I got my first gift voucher for a shoe shop. Try saying that really fast, it's really hard. A shoe shop. And I bought these nice shoes. You can tell me how nice they are later, I'll be very happy to hear it. Or I can tell you about the Hamilton tickets. Anyone here like Hamilton? Yeah, Athena, I know you like Hamilton. We sung it all the way back from Kick. We basically played that album and bored Ben Purim to tears. It was great. But I can tell you how much I loved those birthday tickets to Hamilton. And I can tell you of plenty more, but maybe you have a birthday gift that you really loved, or maybe you have one that you're really hoping you'll love to get one day. And so take a quick second here, talk to me, the person next to you. If you're with your partner, you might be able to give them a bit of a nudge, say, "Hey, next year." But ask them, what is it that they want to get for their birthday? What would you want to get as a gift? I'll give you 30 seconds to do that now. All right, well, I could talk to you for hours on end just about what you want for your birthdays, but I'm going to take a few guesses at what I think you might have said. Now, one of them I know I'm correct, because we were talking over here and we said something together. We both said health-related things. I said my knees. I'd love to get new knees, to be honest. Yeah, I feel like I'm joining this side of the room at the moment with the way my knees are going. But maybe it's something different. Maybe it's more tangible. Maybe it's money that you are after. Maybe you just want a bit of cash. As a kid, that was what I would sometimes ask for. Maybe it's jewelry. Maybe it's bracelets or rings. Maybe it's a copy of The One Ring. Maybe it's Lord of the Rings movie extended edition. I've somehow found a way to put it in twice in two sermons. Still haven't watched it. But maybe that's what you'd want. All of these ideas, I'm sure you would think about going as a great gift. But I wonder how many of you put frankincense as the gift you would want. No, no one, right? It's, really, what is frankincense? I couldn't even tell you before I... One moment. As I was saying, I couldn't tell you what frankincense really was before I started looking into this sermon. You know, I'm sure many of us haven't really thought, I'd really want a gift like frankincense if I was to get a gift for my birthday. But for some reason, Jesus receives this gift of frankincense alongside gold and myrrh. And so it must have some significant meaning if it's included in the scriptures. Why else would they tell us about these gifts? And so, friends, today what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at the idea of frankincense, and we're going to be working through how this gift from the wise men is used by God to display and tell about the greatest gift, to tell us about who Christ will be, to tell us about his position to be the one that is worshipped, and how he will be the one who will bring healing. And so, friends, that's where we are heading today. Worship and healing. These are the spaces we will look at. And how does Jesus fit the criteria of what frankincense is? So let's first ask this question. What is frankincense? I've talked about worship and healing, but let's break it down a bit more. See, frankincense is a distinct smelling resin. It's like an aroma type resin. And it was used in spiritual incenses and perfumes. It was used inside temples to perform acts of worship. The people in the Old Testament would use this inside the tabernacle, inside different pictures of worship. And we get a picture of that in Leviticus 2:2. Because it says, "He shall bring it to the priests, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour and oil with all of the frankincense. And the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, as an offering made by fire, a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord." And so we have this aroma, this resin, used for worship, used in offering to God. That is what frankincense is presented as in the Old Testament. Is that this is a resin, an aroma used in the gift of worship. But that's not only what frankincense is. See, nowadays, frankincense is heavily used medicinally. See, people in current times and even before used this with the belief that it would be helpful in its ability to improve heart rate, to improve breathing, blood pressure, boost immune function, relieve pain, treat dry skin, reverse the signs of aging, fight cancer. I mean... Some of us were a bit too loud about the aging one. Look, if I was a daytime television, you know those primetime TV doctors? Yeah, you know that thing, right? It's on daytime television. Some of us watch it. Some of us are at school still. But if I was one of those guys, I'd be telling you about this magic wonder oil that could heal all your problems. That's what they've described frankincense as. This thing that's used for healing and for helping the sick. And so we have this oil, this aroma that's used for worship and for healing. It's used in worship and sacrifice for helping the sick and tired. That's the gift that these wise men bring to Jesus. And so, friends, today we're going to break down these two things. We're going to ask, does Jesus fit those criteria? Does he fulfill what this gift of frankincense represents? Is Jesus someone to be worshipped? And is Jesus someone who can bring healing? And so here's the first one. Is Jesus someone to be worshipped? Spoiler alert, yes. So as we said before, frankincense is an incense. It's an oil used in worship to those worth worshipping. And so if Jesus is worthy of this gift, well, Scripture must show it. And the Scriptures do show this. If the Scriptures were answering the question, if the Bible answered, is Jesus worthy of worship? The answer is yes. See, the Bible is consistent. It's constant in its affirmation that Jesus is the one to whom we are to give all the glory, to give all our worship, who we are to bow down to, who we are to praise as our Savior. We see these things clearly. That's okay. I'm going to read them out to you. We have a lot of passages that were meant to be out there, but I've somehow lost them. It's okay. We see these things, this idea of Jesus being worthy of worship through Scripture, through passages like Titus 2 in verse 13, which says, as we wait for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, bowing, worshipping, giving glory. Hebrews 1:6, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Not just the angels, but us as well, both of us, to worship this newborn, to worship Christ. See, friends, the Bible does not want to be unclear. It is quite simple. Jesus is fully worthy of our worship. And so the real question we should be asking ourselves is not, is Jesus someone to be worshipped? Is he worth worshipping? But rather, what is my response? Are we able to jump to the next? There we go. What is my response to Jesus, who is worthy of my worship? What is my response? What is your response? Well, friends, our response should be simple to answer. You see, the first thing we should do is give glory. We should worship and praise him because he is worthy. See, friends, praise is something that deepens the bond of love between us and Christ. God's love for us is never diminished, but ours can sometimes grow weak. In praise, we respond to the truth and grow in our love and trust that Christ is worthy. We help ourselves to know that fact is true. We act upon it. Christ is worthy of praise and worship, and we know that to be true. We respond and acknowledge exactly what the wise men do, that Jesus is the one. He is the one who is worthy of all praise and deserving of our praise and glory to him. Well, friends, along with this idea of glory and worship, there's two more responses that we should do. There's two more ways that we should respond to knowing that Jesus, who is worthy of all glory, worthy of all worship, and that is through repentance and reverence to him. If we acknowledge that Jesus is worthy of all worship, then we should align ourselves to what it means to glorify and worship him. We should align ourselves to what it means for Jesus to be our Lord. When we are called to give glory to God, we are called to be holy, just as God is holy. And friends, don't be fools. We do not do this without repenting. We do not do this without repenting of our sins before our God. And so because Jesus is worthy of our worship, he calls us to be repenting of our sins to him, to glorify him as we come to turn towards him, away from our sins. Be repentant in your response. But friends, also respond in reverence. And what do I mean by this? Well, in what may be some shocking news to some, God is not like us. Yeah, I know, that's crazy news. It might be a brain twist there. God is not like us. He is perfect. He is holy. He has great power. He is creator. He created the world in which we live, and when we messed it up, he had a way to make it right again. He is not like us. And so therefore, he is deserving of praise. It is his right. He is entitled to be worshipped because he is all powerful. And that is what it means to show reverence, to show reverent respect. This reverent respect we have for God should lead to not just passive adoration, but active glorification. We just heard how different God is. He's perfect. He's holy. He's great and powerful. Show active glorification to the one who is in all control, who has so much power and is so different and so great. We can stand together in church and say God is great and Jesus is deserving of glory and worthy of worship, but if we do truly think that's true, if we believe in that great truth, it should move us to more. It should move us to give our lives totally and utterly to him and to serve him in reverence every day in every way that our life can, by giving glory, giving worship, giving over ourselves, repenting of our sins to him. And so, friends, that's where we are to take from this first point. Glory, repentance, reverence. It's not a question of is Jesus worthy of worship, but trusting and believing that he is, knowing that the scriptures, the Bible tells us he is worthy of worship. He fits that first criteria. And that truth should move us to active glorification, to actively worship him as Lord, and to actively live in reverence. And so that's our first point on what frankincense displays of Jesus. But what about our second point? We had more than one point. What about our second point? Is Jesus someone who brings healing? Is Jesus fit for the second criteria? Well, so again, let's go back to what that criteria is. Frankincense is heavily believed in medicinally. It is trusted to bring many benefits to healing the sick. And so our question now is, well, does Jesus heal in the scriptures? As we go back to God's word, as we go back to the living and active truth of the Bible, do we see Jesus as someone who brings healing? And again, the answer is yes. You see, we see Jesus heal people in two different ways, two different categories. We see Jesus heal both physically. He heals people's physical needs, but more importantly, Jesus heals spiritually. See, the Bible again is clear. Jesus does bring healing. The Bible shows over 20 times throughout the Gospels, the four books that talk about Jesus' life, they show more than 20 times Jesus performing physical healings to people. But friends, it's not the physical healing that I want to talk to us about today. But rather, it is the spiritual healings that Jesus brings that we should concern ourselves with. Physical healings do not last an eternity. But healing us spiritually, from our spiritual death, now that is an eternal healing. Jesus has come and brought to us spiritual healing through being our Redeemer, through being our reconnector to God. See, the Bible says it like this. It's very clear in 1 Peter chapter 2. I think it's on the screen here. It's perfect. He himself bore our sins in his body on that tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Take note of this, friends. By Jesus, we have been healed from spiritual death and brought into life. When I hear this, friends, I think about the priests, the priests who offer sacrifices for their people in the Old Testament. Well, friends, Christ has offered himself as the sacrifice to bring us spiritual healing. In fact, Scripture describes Jesus not just as any priest, but actually Scriptures, the Bible, they talk about our great high priest. Saying in Hebrews 4, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Yet without sin, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, friends, Jesus does bring healing. He is a great high priest who has paid sacrifice so that we may be brought out of spiritual death into spiritual life, healing us from our spiritual sickness to sin and into spiritual reconnection with the Lord. And so since we have Christ as our high priest, since we have Jesus as our healer, let us live in confidence that in him we have been drawn from spiritual death into life, receiving mercy and receiving grace by his sacrifice on the cross. And so, friends, again, I ask ourselves the real question here. Because it's clear, it's not a question of does Jesus heal? But again, it's what is my response to the truth that Jesus, being my high priest, the one who pays the sacrifice, the one who brings healing from the sick, from spiritual death into life, what is my response to the truth that Jesus is my spiritual healer? Again, friends, the answer is simple. The answer is draw near to your spiritual healer. Draw near to your high priest. Draw near to your living God. I want to take this time to talk about when you go to a doctor, right? You see, just like how a doctor, you go and you meet them and you talk to them and you draw near to them, you ask them questions about how you can be healed from your sickness. A doctor cannot treat a patient they have not met or heard from. Without any information, without any understanding of who they are, how can a doctor treat you? We all kind of agree with that, right? You know, we're not silly. We go and see the doctor when we ask what's wrong. We need healing from our sickness. Well, friends, how then can we expect Christ to bring us spiritual healing, to be connecting with us and reconnect us from death to life with God? How can we expect this if we do not come to him and draw near to him and ask him? I know we are not foolish. We know that we must draw near to him. Just like you cannot get the right help from your doctor without trusting what he says, how can we expect healing and relationship from Jesus if we do not listen and draw near to his word and trust in what he says for us? We do not ask a doctor, what do you think about this situation I'm in, and then hear his words and then forget it. No, we take them and we apply them and we listen. Let us do the same when we draw near to our spiritual healer in Jesus. Do not be fools, friends. Do not be like those who are called out in James chapter 1, who hear the words of Scripture, who hear Christ in his words, read them, and then ignore them. James, the brother of Jesus, he calls them fools. He says, that's like looking in a mirror, seeing your reflection, walking out and forgetting what you look like. These things, man. No, don't be a fool. Rather, trust in the words of Christ. Draw near to him. Remember them. Act upon them. Do not be a fool and forget them. Trust in the one who we have seen. Who we have seen, who has been marked as the one who will bring healing from the beginning. So just as God displays in the frankincense given to Jesus, just as the wise men present to him, let us trust in him. And so, friends, that is our answer. Draw near to our Lord Jesus. Draw near to him and trust in his words. Trust in his ability to bring spiritual healing, to heal our relationship to God, to bring us from death in sin to life in Christ, to reconnect and to heal us. Draw near to our great high priest. Draw near to the divine Christ Jesus, who has paid our sacrifice, who died and rose, who paid for our spiritual resurrection and healing. Draw near to our Lord. And so, friends, here is where I want to finish. What have we seen? We've seen and affirmed that Jesus is our healer. He heals physical faults. Yes, the Bible is clear, but more importantly, he heals our spiritual sickness, our spiritual death, heals what could be an eternity of unfixed relationship with the Lord and brings it back into right repair. He brings us to spiritual life with God. We've seen that in this healing, he has brought sacrifice for our sinfulness. He has become our high priest. He's interceding for us in our spiritual death to sin. He's healing our relationship to the Father and healing our spiritual death. And friends, we've seen also today that Jesus is worthy of being worshipped. We are called to worship him. That is our response to this great truth. And we should do so in reverence and by repenting and following him, trusting in his words. Friends, the questions are not, is he worthy of worship? Is he able to heal? It's what is our response? What is our response to understanding that Jesus fits the criteria of the gift of frankincense? He is worthy of worship. He is able to heal. See, friends, Christ is someone who is not just human, who is not just of human or kingly criteria, but Jesus is of priestly and divine authority. He is fully God, and thus he is fully worthy of our worship. He is fully God, and only he can heal us of our spiritual sickness. He provides the uses of the second gift of frankincense so much better than we could imagine. He is so much better than just a bottle of frankincense, for he is a greater gift. He is the greatest gift we could ever receive. So let us worship that gift. Let us worship and draw near to it. Let us give glory and honor and praise and bow down to the one who has come to free us from our spiritual sickness, because he is worthy of our worship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought your son Jesus down here. And that on the night when the wise men came, they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, Lord, and you used those gifts to display more and more about who Christ is to be. And as we know today, Lord, he is someone worthy of worship. He is someone who brings healing, not just physically for a short time, but spiritually for eternity. And that we can trust in those truths, Lord, and in that draw near to him, trusting in his words, not being fools that just hear that truth and walk away, but hearing it and believing it and acting upon it. And so, Lord, let us be reminded of this truth in Christmas time. Let it not just be something we remember in our hearts, but leave in this room. Let it be something that we share with the people in our lives, people we don't know, people we do know. Let us tell them that these gifts aren't just okay gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but they actually present us more details on the greatest gift. How easy is it, Lord, at the Christmas time to talk about the gifts we get? But let us have confidence, Lord, and build in us confidence to talk about your greatest gift for us, your son, Jesus, who is worthy of all worship from us, Lord.